Tim Forbes has joined us on Sports Byline USA. The name of the book, it's Game Time Somewhere, How 1 Year, 100 Events, and 50 Different Sports Changed My Life. Tell me what motivated the book. What was it, Tim?
I was working in the golf business and had been, you know, I started at the bottom and worked my way up, and things were going pretty well. But as I started to look around, I realized I wasn't enjoying life much and working in the golf business. And I wasn't watching any golf, playing any golf, and I started to bleed over into other sports, and I really wasn't paying even any attention to sports. And it finally came to a head when a friend of mine was having a conversation about something entirely different, and he just stopped me, and he said, "Do you even like sports anymore? I mean, you don't sound like the same person that loved sports when you went into this business." And I didn't know the answer. I honestly didn't know the answer. So I decided to... Now, I needed to be a fan again. I needed to kind of regain my amateur status as a fan. And so I went to a basketball game, a local game here in L.A., and as luck would have it, it turned into one of the upsets of the season when little Loyola Marymount knocked off Gonzaga. And that kind of hooked me again and set me on the road to what I call my sports walkabout and to 100 different sporting events involving 50 different sports over the course of the next year.
And it went from everything from the large crowd where you had 80,000 to, as it says in the notes that I saw, you were doubling the audience for that game. Tell me about some of the events that you went to.
On the small end, first of all, there was one rule, one guideline. The game had to mean something. There had to be something on the line. So I tended to try to pick up championship games. So if I was going to a high school event, it was a championship event. Collegiate conference tournament championships and that type of thing. So the tension was always, palpable when you arrived, and I loved that because it just brings you back as being an athlete. You look for those butterflies. You want to experience that sense of nervousness. So I really liked going to all these championship games, but some of them were very, very humble, and they weren't attended by that many people. I went to the Pac. It was the Pac-10 at the time, Pac-10 track and field decathlon, heptathlon championships at Cal Berkeley. And in this huge, cavernous stadium, there were maybe 75 of us there, and to such an extent that they didn't even bother, we all just wound up in the infield. So the entire, all fans and athletes were kind of mingling in the infield. And I saw Ashton Eaton, who, as you know, is the world's greatest athlete. He won the decathlon in London, and I saw him just effortlessly demolish his opposition from as close up as you can possibly get at a sporting event. And that's a memory that I'll really cherish.
Also, what about the major events? What major events did you go to?
The one that was most fun, I went to the opening day at Yankee Stadium. I'm a huge Angels fan, and the Angels happened to be opening Yankee Stadium that year. And a friend of mine got tickets. And just the that feeling of opening day number one, opening day at Yankee Stadium number two, and opening day watching my favorite team play in Yankee Stadium. That was a great combination of events for me.
I know you went to events in America as well as into Canada. Did you notice any difference in the atmosphere at sporting events in Canada?
A little bit more festive. I mean, I don't have enough of a sample to state definitively, but people seem to be a little bit more festive. Everybody was in a good mood at the two events that I went to in Canada, and they didn't seem to take anything for granted in their surroundings. They were aggressively pounding out the national anthem and showering applause on any really good play. It just enthusiasm level was a little bit higher than I encountered in a lot of American events.
Yeah, Tim, that's where I was going to next. And the events that I've either broadcast or covered in Canada, I tend to find the Canadian fan a little more of a sportsman, if you know what I mean. They're not as intense about things. Will they boo? Yeah, I suppose they'll boo an event. But there's something about the sportsmanship of Canadian fans that I find a little bit different than American fans, and I just wondered if you saw that in evidence.
I did, and the one other thing about Canadian football in particular that really, really got a chuckle out of is that sports betting is legal. And so not only is it legal, but at one of the games that I went to, a local sports betting parlor was one of the major sponsors of the game. So they were everywhere. Their name, they had a betting booth right outside the tunnel to go into the game. So I thought that kind of jumped out at me. I got a chuckle out of that.
I know that you also saw some Class A baseball. You saw the Orioles rookie sensation Manny Machado as well, mm-hmm. in single A.
Mm-hmm. I did. He was just out of school. And minor league baseball is just a joy and a total gift. And when you're fortunate enough to see somebody that you know is going to be big soon, you tend to remember that. And I actually saw him deliver a game-winning hit in extra innings in a game in Aberdeen, Maryland, when he was a short-season single-A player on his way up with the Rocket.
You know, you're right about that. Mike Vec is a friend of mine, and, of course, he owns the River Dogs down in Charleston. If you're ever down there, let me recommend it to you. And there's just something about the minor league level. First of all, I think the players are a little more interactive with the fans because they're just starting out their careers at that time. And I've been in Raleigh-Durham where they did Bull Durham and everything mm-hmm. else. And you really come away with getting in love with baseball once again. Did you find that you got back since you were looking to get back to your roots for the love of sport, that happened when you went to minor league baseball?
Minor league baseball and college baseball. Because college baseball is just, you know, at the higher levels of college baseball, that's almost minor league baseball. They're just, you know, on the other side of graduation away from being in minor league baseball. So it is that same, humble, really unpretentious approach to playing the game. You know, these guys just love playing, and it just oozes out of them.
Some of my friends that have either biked across America or even ran across America, I like to talk to them and I ask them, what did you find out about this country that maybe you did not know before? What about that for you, given all the events and all the places that you witness sports?
The number one thing I found out about is that the happiest sports fans in America are those that are striking a real nice balance between watching sports and playing sports, for sure. Kind of the couch potato sports fan that I've discovered is never as satisfied with their relationship with sports as is the person who, you know, may skip the game and go out and play tennis or play golf or play beach volleyball or something, rather than kind of being slavishly devoted to the clicker and the couch.
One of the things that I like to do is if I see some kids out there playing baseball, a little league game, I go out and maybe just sit in the stands and watch a little bit. But I've also seen the ugly side of kids' sports as well, with parents doing some things that they should never, ever do and try to rob the kids of their fun. Did you witness any of that?
You know, I didn't. And that was one thing I had very few expectations, but that was one thing that I really kind of thought I would see, but I didn't. And I was very, very happy about that. Make no mistake, I saw some horrific fan behavior, but it was more at the professional sports level and not at the small amateur level.
One of the chapters you have is called Teachable Moments. Tell me about it.
The extent to which kids look up to and emulate their sports heroes can never really be overstated. Even in this day when they're bombarded with, you know, messages and things to compete for their time and attention, they emulate their sports heroes. And so I went to several different events, one after another, that just happened to fall that way, that were high school events. And the sport really defined how the kids acted. And you could almost tell who their heroes were by the level of, you know, icy cool, or kind of that tempestuous bad boy tennis persona, and I saw them all, and it was, you know, you could close your eyes and think that you were watching it at the professional level.
We just have a minute left, Tim, but in the final analysis, after you had finished this odyssey and your travels, what did you come away with as an overall observation about sports?
Just play. Those that are in love with sports are the ones that are playing it. And also, it really kind of changed what I wanted to do with my career, because I really like the hinterlands of sports. I love the areas of sports where people are playing just for the love of the game and just for the love of competition and the desire to test themselves out against other people of all ages. So it really kind of impacted the way that I'm going to go forward with my own career, as well as my life as a fan and as a participant.
Do you find that you have to re-nourish yourself on this in order to keep the passion up?
For sure. Absolutely. But nothing that's worth having isn't worth providing, putting some dedication into.
Well, congratulations on the book, Tim. It is a wonderful read, and I hope people will check it out, because if you were at a crossroads about your love for sports, this will certainly help answer that question for you. It's called It's Game Time Somewhere, How 1 Year, 100 Events, and 50 Different Sports Changed My Life. Tim, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ron. I enjoyed it.
We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.